Wake up, gamers, because you're listening to Big Think Dimension with KZ Excellent.
I'm optimistic about things.
Dan and Bob Video Games.
You see that mountain? You can fuck another man on that mountain.
And Mr. Feel.
Bazinga.
Here on Gigaboots.
We have a very important thing to talk about.
We do?
Yes. Is that Bob is wrong.
About what?
The Junior Bacon Cheeseburger.
Oh my god.
The Junior Bacon Cheeseburger is more than acceptable. Wendy's fries are a war crime. That
agreed.
Part is fucking true.
I think
they are.
I think that's
I got the
agreement
the four
said.
For four.
Mm-hmm.
I got the four for four, and I was like, well, Dan says get the chili, but I want to test this base before I do anything else. It's the smallest order of fries, and I didn't even finish it. I ate half of it, and I'm like, I've never encountered fries I didn't want to eat any more of before.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're really bad.
They're so really bad.
They're the worst fast food fry.
Yeah, I think that's right. And that's the sentiment I've been seeing from most viewers, that their fries are absolutely miserable.
Yeah, it's weird because McDonald's and Burger King used to be excellent and have gotten worse, but Wendy's is like, nah, we still can race to this bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Burger King's did used to be a lot better.
Yeah.
But they're still, and they got worse, but they're still better than Wendy's.
Well, that's not hard. I do need to bring up that many people have pointed out that you can get a Frosty and dip the fries in the Frosty, and that tastes excellent. That's what they say. I've tried
Correct.
It. It's okay. Tosh agrees, and Dr. Agro also does that, so I assume he also agrees.
I don't think that really saves it.
No, it doesn't. You know, a lot of people actually missed the news this last week, this really important news, because it got overshadowed. There was some other Death Stranding news. You know, the main thing being that Flip Gingerman was announced for Death Stranding. But a lot of people missed the other news. They actually announced a new character. It's kind of weird because it seems like it's an homage to the Flintstones. The character's name is John Goodman.
Oh, I get it.
God.
Yeah. God. Reference to the Flintstones. What a piece of shit. Cursed content.
They're like,
I don't think they're that bad, but okay.
That's stupid. Kojima would never do that. Meanwhile, a fucking otter helmet.
let's not get into our very important and epic news just yet.
I've definitely epic. Had enough of things called epic over the last month. So I guess we do the thing podcasts do, where they talk about what they've been playing. Bob and I, we've been playing God of War for the PS4.
Good.
We
maybe someday we'll be able to talk about it.
We looked at the save file. We looked at the save file, and it literally had been a year and 3 days since we played it. Guys,
damn.
We stopped about 4.5 hours from the end of that game.
Yeah, I figured you couldn't have stopped that far.
This is hilarious, because at the time of us recording, it is the year anniversary of you saying, hey, do you want to do a Kingdom Hearts 3 podcast where this all started? These podcasts ruined God of War for you.
Yeah, no, when you tweeted that, I was like, exactly, that's what made us stop. That's actually, I said that a little bit before that. I said that while we were playing God of War, and I was like, yeah, we started those podcasts a year ago, Bob. That's why we haven't had free time in a year.
Yep.
But we finally found free time, and we beat that game.
Good.
I'd be lying if I didn't say that most of that last play session, I just kept sitting there going, this will work better on the PS5.
I mean, it's impossible not to think that about every PS4 game now.
Right.
He's going to do that with everything.
I'm sitting here thinking, like, if I didn't need it in my blood as soon as possible, like, mm-hmm. if I was somebody with some modicum of normality in my personality, I might just have just waited on Final Fantasy VII Remake until that new one came out, because that's going to have terrible load times.
Yeah. Yeah, it's probably going to be clunky in a way, and uneven frame rates in a way where you wish you were playing it on a PS5. But, yeah, that God of War game. You ever quit playing a game, come back a year later, and it turns out you're in the most difficult part of the game?
Yeah. that definitely happens.
Trying to think of what where 4 hours behind would be.
Well, one of the things
I think they're in the place with all the traps and stuff.
One of the things we had to do. Okay. One of the things we had to do during that was the combat room grand tour, where the biggest baddies of every realm fight you.
Yeah.
Shit.
Oh, you did. You did the.
Keeping it vague.
Nilfheim, not Nilfheim. The.
It's
you did
okay.
Hell. No.
Well, we did that. That wasn't nearly as much of a problem as, hey, remember how much the elves suck? And I was like, oh, right. I fucking hated enemies. They blind you if they hit you at all. Fuck this.
Yeah, I don't remember having a huge amount of trouble with it.
I hated the boss version of those enemies. It was rough.
Yeah. I still like the core gameplay.
The core gameplay of God of War is real good.
Yeah. I love every time... And I feel like it gets ramped up near the end where it's like, we didn't cut the camera. It just got really dark and held on perfectly black for a few seconds. We didn't cut the camera. There are no camera cuts. It just got really bright and held on perfectly white for a few seconds. But we're not hiding loading times. All I could think was, man, if they did this on the PS5, that would be a lot easier to do.
God.
Dude, there are literally, like, there's so many moments in that game, KZ, where it's like you're staring at a wall and they're loading the next area because you're climbing up a sheer cliff so that way it can load it in.
Yeah, that happened a lot.
It did. And, you know, it wouldn't have been as ambitious to do it next gen. I get that. That game, by the end of it, had some pretty cool set pieces. Overall, I liked it, and I hope they make another one. Reason to believe
I'm excited for the sequel. Did you get the teaser for going back to the your house?
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it was a real moment. I don't want to talk about it too much in case anyone else is struggling, or maybe they're waiting for the PS5 to play through that. Hey man.
I mean, honestly at this point I would too,
because Bob and I played in the 1080p performance mode, and while it looks good, it's not locked 60, and there's a chance that PS5 could lock 60 on it without any crazy level of optimization.
Which I assume they're going to do a patch for that, because it's one of their big ones.
I assume that's going to be a huge part of Sony's push with
that
PS5.
That has to be a day one.
Yeah, because now it's like, hey, that greatest hit section for the PS4 is now games you can buy for the PS5. You know, these games that are on what is their service called? PlayStation Now.
Oh,
these games
that
are on PlayStation Now run on your PS5 and you can download them and they run great.
Yeah, because they added that to it.
There's a good chance, and I'm not saying this to be shitty, if they make a 4K 60 mode for that game, it will look better than launch titles on Xbox 2.
I think it's a little bit more than a good chance, Dan.
I know that, but I'm using conservative phrasing so that way it will help people swallow the pill. Halo Infinite, the Xbox One, PC, and probably 360 cross-gen.
What?
It's like Forza Horizon 2.
Yes. Yeah, no, Halo Infinite probably not going to be much of a looker. If it even fucking ships, like, remotely on time. Because that thing's looking troubled. But yeah, God of War is really pretty.
This Phil went up on stage. He's like, we're launching it with a Halo.
And they're like, now we're delaying the Xbox.
Oh, that would just be the death sentence.
Could you imagine?
I wish.
That would feel like Sega being like, we're not launching the Saturn until we get a 3D Sonic Smash cut to their grave. Oh man. But
whatever happened to Sonic? just hard Family Guy cut to just a grave and there's like a branch billowing gently in the wind.
But yeah, I think that game actually would be worth even another playthrough, or maybe just going back and doing the side content on a PS5. I'm really looking forward to that. Bob, did you have things to say?
That's definitely like the best God of War game. I'd say it's the best Western action game like ever. I can't think of any that really rival it.
I've said that before on this podcast. Now's a great time to say it again. Yeah, I still think it's the best feeling Western action game ever made. What's its competition? Darksiders?
Heavenly Sword?
Darksiders 2. Darksiders 2.
Yeah, they have this for free.
And
DMC Devil May Cry.
What's the second best? Another God of War game?
DMC doesn't count. DMC Devil May Cry doesn't count. Because Itsuno had to come fucking do the savior on that game.
It is still feels bad.
Yeah, it still feels worse because he couldn't do a miracle. But it doesn't count. It had way too much input from that side of the company.
Yeah, I think God of War is easily the best feeling Western action game. And honestly, maybe I'm pretty sure it's in my top five. I can't think of five games that are better than it in the action game genre because I strongly dislike Devil May Cry 4's game. Like there are moments when God of War's "we're not going to cut the camera" thing kind of limits what it can do, but that's nowhere near as bad as Devil May Cry 4's "rerun the game twice before you get your ending" segment. Ugh. Putting the plot into cryostasis for you to rerun the same level sucked, but that's whatever. I'm not here to talk about I'm not here to talk about how much I dislike Devil May Cry 4.
The fantastic game featured in that pinball movie we watched.
Yes.
Only Interstellar Pinball lives forever, Casey.
Anything else you wanted to say, Bob?
Not really. I mean, it was a great game. Definitely recommend it. I think that you can find plenty of info about God of War, the God of War out there at this point. We're kind of a year late on this.
1 year late?
More.
18 months late.
18 months, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, didn't that come out in February of 2017?
Didn't God of War come out in like 2003?
It came out in April, so.
Oh, did it? Okay, I thought it was one of those February games, but okay. But yeah, no, that game's great. I would love to see a sequel. I want a sequel to that more than I want a sequel to Horizon, but that's no surprise. I basically haven't played Horizon because it's too big. It's too big of a game. I have no interest in... I have an interest in that game. I find it hard to entertain that I will have like 30 hours, 20 plus hours to throw into that game anytime in the next 6 months. So maybe next year we'll get around to playing Horizon. At least it'll...
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, you know it, the Horizon spoiler cast.
Sure, I played it. I finished it.
2 years ago.
I vaguely remember three years ago.
It was 2 years ago. Yeah, also, you're right. I vaguely remember a lot.
So, Bob, did you play anything else in the last week?
They put up a demo for Story of Season Doraemon, which is the new, basically, Harvest Moon game with Doraemon characters.
Why are there Doraemon characters in it?
Because it was a cool licensing thing, I guess.
Yeah, it's just one of those licensing things like the Fist of the North Star Yakuza game.
But it's got really neat art style to it. You're actually going around hand-drawn environments and you're a 3D character. It looks nice.
I am stunned that got localized.
Yeah,
I am
no.
Fucking appalled.
What's this on, Bob?
This is on the Switch.
Okay.
So it gives me hope for the next one of those, the Story of Seasons Mineral Town, I think, is it?
Yeah,
is
it's that... a remake of the really good Harvest Moon that Dan mentioned before that I can't remember the name of.
Yeah, Friend of Mineral Town, but I don't know.
Back to Nature is the PS1 game, yeah.
But I think it's a remake of one of the other ones.
Oh yeah, is it?
No, those were also a remake.
Oh, okay.
It was remade and offered the Game Boy Advance as Friends of Mineral Town, and then this is a remake of that one.
Yeah, so I having played this, like it plays smoothly. It doesn't run as quite as well as I would like, but it's mostly there. And the only thing I don't really care for is the Doraemon stuff, which isn't necessarily bad. It's just I don't have an attachment to those characters, and I'd rather just have a Harvest Moon person to play as than having like a pre-established lore with the family. The some of the gadgets you get from the cat are pretty neat, though. You get like a warping door that lets you warp all over the environment. That seems useful. I assume there's some replacement for that in normal Harvest Moon. I mean, sorry, normal Story of Seasons. This
yes,
is Harvest Moon.
Completely
anymore.
Different game.
Completely different.
Yeah, Harvest Moon is now fucking executed and has a doppelganger in its place.
Yes, it has mobile games being released on full consoles. Because, you know, that's okay.
Innovation.
Because we have a brand name, we can't not exploit it.
I also tried Ninja Warriors. Ninja Saviors, Return of the Warriors, which finally hit the PS4.
Okay.
That's a fun little beat-em-up that, what was that, Super Nintendo / arcade game back in the day?
Yeah, it was two different games. It was an arcade game and then a weird Super NES conversion that's not quite the same. Not quite.
Right. But you play as these robot cyborg ninjas. So some of them you can't even tell the robots until you get killed, and then like your skin explodes off and you're a Terminator. But yeah, each of them has a surprisingly deep move list. Like the dude ninja is really good at doing throwing guys. He can like pick up guys and walk around and throw them, and he also has dash attacks because he's got jet boosters. Just a lot of cool stuff there. There's supposed to be two more characters coming to it. I don't know when they're coming out, because I thought they'd be out with the release of it, but I guess they're not. I don't know how long we're going to have to wait for those guys to show up, or if I just need to do something in the game to unlock them.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure which it is either.
But yeah, I definitely was checking it out. I think it was like $20, so it is a bit steep for an old remake. Like, it's basically released with some new assets. Like, the boss has been completely redrawn for the first level. And those new characters are coming, but otherwise it feels more like just a straight conversion.
Yeah, it looked very similar to the arcade game, like incredibly similar.
Yeah.
How much is it?
I think it was like $20. Yeah, so it's a bit steep. I was like, I really want to know how this is, so that's why I'm buying this.
Okay.
Hey, it's not as steep as the Wild Guns one, which was fucking 40.
Oh, that's insane. Why are they doing that?
And those were the bigs that I played this week. I don't think I really went outside that too much. I gave Trials of Cold Steel 1 a shot, but I didn't play enough of that to get a really good feel for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have much to say about that.
A little bit to get into, but you have that turbo feature now, so that helps.
Oh man, I didn't even know about that, but I didn't even get to the point where that would make sense, because I just did the intro stage, which is like some weird cut forward in the timeline, like we were talking about last week with Trials of Cold Steel 3.
Oh yeah,
which I'm not really sold on the way they do that.
I kind of like it. In the third one, it feels like they're just doing it to draw a parallel to the first one, but I did like it in the first one.
I think part of what kills it for me is they're referring to each other by name, and it still is just like a blue hair boy above them.
Yeah, that's
what?
Whatever. But yeah, if you're playing on the PS4, those have a turbo feature.
Yeah, I might have to check that out if I go back to it, because it's a giant JRPG. I might not.
Really good turbo feature too, because it's one of the ones where like, we don't speed up the menus, so it literally all that speeds up is the animation.
Okay. That's good. Ahead. But yeah, that was pretty much my week.
Oh, okay. I'm trying to... I don't think I played any video games other than God of War. I think I've been too busy juggling other things. No, I didn't play Puzzle Quest.
Oh, what a shame.
Thank God.
As I said, I was going to binge that one time and then never touch it again. Admittedly, I did boot the PS2 version of Puzzle Quest the other day because I did not know that it existed.
There's a fucking PS2 version?
I know, right? That was my reaction. That version's
all
right.
I gotta try this.
In some ways, that version's preferable because it runs smoothly, but it looks pretty hideous in-game, like in the combat. But yeah, I don't really have anything to talk about right now.
I'm excited to play Modern Warfare 2,
1.
1, whatever they call it.
Modern Warfare, the Modern Warfare.
Yes, Modern Warfare, the Modern Warfare. But data limit will not allow us to download that, so you know.
Our bandwidth cap is so close to hitting the cap, and Call of Duty's box says it's 150 gigs on PS4.
Yep. Oof. I would have gotten it physical.
Wow. Dude.
150, that's insane.
I look forward to zipping up this podcast and sending it to you, all 18 gigs of it.
That's three times as much as fucking Breakpoint.
Hopefully there's some good game in that one.
Well, this game actually looks nice.
Yeah, this game has three times.
Hopefully there's a video game in it instead of a fucking torture device.
KZ, what did you play?
Okay, the only thing I played was I finished up my Kingdom Hearts 3 Critical Level 1 run.
468 deaths.
Yeah, there were 468 deaths in this. Best way to describe it is the game's version of Dante Must Die, where it's the hardest thing you can do in the game because they allow you to turn off experience gain from the start, and you're still able to finish the game. They have some like hidden stuff in place, like being able to deal a little bit more damage to higher leveled enemies, but that stops mattering after about the first few fights, and then it just becomes a make sure you're really well geared throughout the entire game, which means picking up those lucky emblems, upgrading keyblades, doing all the stuff you would do normally in the game, but you have to be a bit more strict with it. I remember where most of the good stuff is by this point, so it's very easy to gear up. This isn't too bad. It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be, where I thought some fights would just be unplayable, but most of them are just challenging. You have to learn when enemies are going to attack, what some of their tells specifically are. However, there are, at the end of the game, without like saying exactly all the end game fights, one of the first ones you get in the last area, where they have you fight multiple bosses, the design of the fights are meant to be crowd control. Because, you know, you have party members there and they want to, like, they're like, okay, we'll have the attacks hit everywhere. That's a problem.
Oh, I bet.
Because the first one that I did, there was so much, I was getting shot. there were nukes flying everywhere, and I went, this is the worst. This is an absolute fucking nightmare because I'm dying in two hits. And this seems almost unfeasible till I realize one of the bosses that you can fight. If you stay in the air the whole time, one of them just can't hit you because they have no air attacks at all. So that made it a little bit easier. And then every fight after that was so much easier to deal with. I came out of that feeling good about it because I managed to finish it without too much difficulty. And I'm still feeling pretty good about that whole experience. I am never doing it again.
You're never doing it again? Then what are you going to do for your PS5 live stream of Kingdom Hearts 3?
I'm going to be like, hey guys, look how good this is without loading screens. We can play it twice.
It's just like, let's don't just play Rebind.
Casey,
you got to do all the limit cut bosses on this save.
That was part of what I was saying when I was going through. I'm like, guys, if I beat this run, I can do all the DLC super bosses at level 1.
Great.
Neil, I need you to understand. I tried the one super boss available right now. I did a combo. This thing has like 20 health bars. It did an eighth of one in one full combo.
Oh, sounds like a great challenge.
Yep.
Yep. And I went, well, I don't think my stats can get much higher than this. This is a problem.
Sounds to me like you don't like challenge, Casey. You must love the experience share in Pokemon.
I just put my head down and closed my eyes, thinking maybe that'll make him disappear from my life finally.
Did it work?
I think it did.
No, it didn't.
That's it. That's it for my week.
Cool, Mr. Feel. What have you been playing?
Well, first, I've been playing Trails of Cold Steel 3. I accidentally bought two copies because Amazon is a bad website. I have to send one of those back.
I don't know if it's a bad website or you have a brain worm.
No, I pre-ordered it months ago, and I'm like, okay, I better make sure I didn't do that. And I clicked open orders, not in my fucking open orders. I don't know why.
Oh, yeah, when they're close to shipping, they remove it from the open order.
Not in my fucking open order, so I'm like, well, shit, I better order it again. Because I had also been thinking of getting it digital. I'm like, maybe I would decide to just get it digital. No, I just bought it fucking twice, so I have to ship it back to Amazon. Seems good so far. No translation problems. I've heard that there just isn't any, so hiring most of the same people really kind of papered over that potential pitfall. Voice work's really good. Sean Shiplock is a good voice actor. He really, he did a good job making his character, the protagonist, Reen, audibly older, but still clearly the same person, which I think is something a lot of voice actors would have trouble with.
Yeah.
Here's my advice if you play it. Upgrade your armor at every opportunity, because it's one of those games where I didn't upgrade my armor, and then the game just goes, perish.
Pathetic.
I was getting fucking murdered by this one fight. I got completely murdered by it twice, and I'm like, God, I better... I saw an armor upgrades. I guess I'll go get those. The fight was not a problem at all once I got the armor upgrade. So that's more important than upgrading your weapons by a lot. The other thing I played, which took up most of my week, was I played Disco Elysium.
The hell's that?
Which is a game that came out... it is a game that fell from the fucking sky a little bit more than a week ago. It is a an RPG with no combat. It only has dialogue and skill checks. It is based on a homebrew tabletop system that the developers came up with. It rolls two dice and then adds your relevant skill to that. And if it's higher than the number that you need to beat, you succeed. You play as a detective who drank so much he forgot everything. And when I mean everything, one of the first conversations of the game is him learning what money is. So you have four stats. You have intelligence, which is intelligence, social, strength, and agility. And then you have six skills tied to each stat. And they aren't just skills. They're also facets of your personality that will, like, talk to you. So one of the skills is basically the ability to threaten people with with physical intimidation. So it'll pop up in dialogue trees and be like, punch him in the fucking face. Do it now, cuck. I'm just going to give a couple examples of the dialogue, because this game is... The writing in this game is unbelievably good. This is probably going to be in my top three games of the year. But here, the game opens with just blackness, and then a character called Ancient Lizard Brain starts talking to you, which is the name they use for, like, the most primal part of your mind.
Okay,
that's just like us.
And he's like, oh, you like Oblivion, right? It's like, and your options are basically yes and yes, and then you pick one. He's like, how about some more of that sweet, sweet nothing? And this is voice acted. Most of the game isn't voice acted, but some stuff is. And your options are, yes, give me more of that sweet nothing. Yes, put me on the train to Oblivionville. Or three, no, I want to deal with bright light, noises, and people who don't like me. And when you finish that, when you come to the conclusion of that dialogue tree, you wake up. So here's how my very first attempt at playing this went. I was like, I'll put all my points into intelligence and social, and I'll be a detective that works totally through talking to people. So you wake up drunk, face down in the middle of a trashed hotel room. You have no clothes on. So the first thing you have to do is get your clothes. Your tie is on the rotating ceiling fan. I tried to get the tie without turning the fan off and failed and took one damage. And because that my physical stat was at one, that meant I had one health, so I had a heart attack and died. In addition to your skills talking to you, and it does a really interesting thing where you're in control of the character and have in control of all the dialogue options, but you're not really playing a created character, because it's a guy that looks one way and he has a name and a backstory. But the way they deal with this is your skills make up your inner monologue that constantly talks to you and tells you, like, you know, what to think about this and gives you information sometimes. So another thing you can do is you can get things called thoughts, which are basically things that take up space in your brain and change your stats slightly. And change your skills slightly. and also sometimes open up new dialogue options, and they open naturally through things you do. Like, there's a bookstore where a lady runs the bookstore and she makes her daughter sit outside trying to get people to come in. And she asks you if you would say she is a good worker. And one of your dialogue options is, I don't think you should judge the worth of your child by how much they offer your business.
Jesus Christ.
And then later, I had to get into a hotel's dumpster that has a lock on it. And then when I gave the key back, I picked the dialogue option. You lock up your leftovers so even the poor can't have them. You kind of suck. And because I picked those two dialogue options, your monologue will talk to you by balls will appear above the character's head, like floating around. And you click on them and get something. Mm-hmm. So I click on it and it goes, hey, you seem like a communist. How would you like to be a communist? And then it gives you that dialogue you might have seen the screenshots of where it's like, they say you've been going around town saying things like, kill the rich, execute everyone with more than $25 in their pocket, kill literally everyone regardless of political opinions. And your dialogue choices are like, yeah, that sounds like me. No, I haven't said anything like that. Or I've said some left-wing things, but nothing like that. And in the dialogue tree, you can opt into communism, and then you get the thought of being a communist, and you can equip it, which takes some time, and you can't unequip them. So you can forget them, but it takes a level up point because some of them have effects you might not want.
This game seems insane.
It's fantastic. Here's another thing. Some characters are racists, okay. And if you indulge them too much, your brain will go, hey, you're a racist now.
What? Oh, no!
And you have to, like, aggressively pick no, 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 or else it'll give you the trait of being a racist. Another thing is, I found a pair of pants of khaki slacks. I found a pair of khaki slacks. And most equipment ups one skill and lowers one skill. So it's a balancing act on what skills you want to focus on. This one gave a +1 to Kingdom of Conscience, like the thing on your shoulders that tells you mm-hmm. to do good.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that is, so I put it on. Thought bubble. I click it. Man, these are comfortable pants. They make you feel like a middle manager, don't they? And I'm like, okay, I guess kind of. It's like, hey, kid, how'd you like to become a centrist?
This game's insane.
And then, like, you have some dialogue options that are basically like, whenever this happens, you have, like, tell me more, no, fuck you. So I click tell me more, and he's like, come on, you don't really have to have an opinion on anything. Can't you smell the sweet smell of incremental progress? Oh. I'm like, no! And then I second picked no, and he threw the pants away. But the game isn't very big, like, game space-wise. It's maybe the size of, like, one city block. But it's unbelievably deep. Like, every character has a million lines of dialogue. You can do anything in the game. You can do, like, 100 different ways based on what your skills are. Like, you have to get into a harbor. It's, like, basically the first thing you do that's on lockdown because the workers are striking. You can beat the 7-foot-tall guy guarding the door up in a fight. You can become a proponent of his advanced race theory, in which case he will like you enough to let you through. Or you can find a secret way in through having very high perception and agility, because you have to, like, jump off a thing to get there. And the whole game is like that. It's unbelievable. And the writing isn't just funny, like the stuff I've said. It's, like, also very hopeful, which is weird. This takes place in an entirely fictional setting. The best way to put what kind of setting it is I would say like Eastern Europe immediately after the fall of communism, in terms of, like, the type of place it is. But you can get a bunch of lore dumps, and it's all very, very interesting. But it's bleak as shit, but there's this inherent hopefulness to it where everybody's kind of a good person, and if they aren't, it's a product of their circumstances, which I think is different from like The Witcher 3, where everybody is a piece of shit and wants you dead.
that's a little different, yeah.
It was very refreshing to play because the writing really is incredibly good. It's like hard to overstate. And since there's no combat system, I don't even have to say, yeah, if you can get past the shitty fucking combat, it's great. There's two fights in the game. When I played through it, there were two fights, and both involved pass a check. The fights, you won the fight.
So what all is this game on?
It's only on PC right now. I think it might be getting a PS4 port at some point. But right now I'm pretty sure it's only PC. The developers who just fell out of the fucking sky said, yeah, we'd love to bring it to consoles, but get it out on one thing first.
Yep.
The soundtrack is also really good. Like, it's unbelievable. All in all, it's a really fantastically written game. I haven't played a game with writing this good possibly in ever. It's like the people who wrote it have such a deep grasp of people, and like, it's the only game I've ever played where it's like, yeah, this game is basically about modern times, and then it actually kind of felt like it was about modern times.
Yeah.
Even though it's not set in the real world at all.
It draws parallels.
I like the description of their Twitter account describing the game, where you can become a hero or an absolute disaster of a human.
This is what they put out. They put up a FAQ on Steam, and one of the first things is like, the first question is like, I can't do this thing that's at the start of the game, because one of the first things you have. Okay, here's another dialogue thing. First thing you have to do is investigate a body hanging from a tree. It's really hard because it's been there for 7 days and it smells so unbelievably nauseating. So if you have a really high physical stat for your endurance skill, you can just pass the check. If you fail, you can go get some ammonia to kill the smell, and that'll make the check slightly easier, and you can try again. If you fail again, your partner says, dude, get your shit together. We have to do this. And then you get the thought, volumetric shit compressor. Once you put that skill on, the check becomes really easy. Because you have to get your shit together, so you get the volumetric shit compressor.
Okay.
I don't.
Okay.
But the FAQ says, don't worry if you can't get the body down. Just do whatever you want. And here's the thing that like stuck with me reading that FAQ, and I'm like, more games should be like this. Losers see things winners never will.
How do you mean?
That's what they said in the FAQ. Losers see things winners never will. So don't be afraid if you can't do a thing.
Okay.
Go try something else.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to do that, and definitely preferable to all the content is locked behind being very good at these things when the writing is the appeal.
Yeah. I mean, it's $40. It's on Steam. It took me about 25 hours once I decided what kind of character I wanted to run. Because I restarted it a bunch of times to play the bit in the beginning with different builds. But once if you can decide on that, it'll be about 25 hours. Which, considering you can run across the entire game world in 1 minute, is like, that's a pretty deep amount of dialogue and stuff.
Right.
This is a game that could not exist if it was voice acted.
Right, that would be infeasible.
But the stuff that matters is voice acted, like the ancient lizard brain is voice acted. And one of my favorite parts is when you get a karaoke tape to sing a sad song. You get an actual vocal track, and it's revealed that that's just the protagonist's voice. The ancient lizard brain is actually his voice.
Okay. Yeah, no, that makes sense. But
some really memorable characters, like your partner is Lieutenant Kim Kitsuragi. He's a great character. He's probably going to go down in the echelon of great RPG companions. But yeah, I really can't recommend it highly enough.
That's cool. Give people the name one more time. I know when segments go on, like people who missed
Disco
it got interested.
Disco Elysium.
Disco Elysium?
Yes.
Cool. Hopefully it comes to consoles.
I look forward to their sequel where everybody's on a skateboard and it's called Ska Elysium.
Oh my God.
Okay, now I'm into it.
Well, I guess, was that everything you played,
One more
played,
bit
Field?
Before I, it is, but one more thing before we move on from it, because it's just, if assuming you don't die getting your tie like I did, the very first thing you do is, you have to wipe off a mirror and look at yourself. And due to years and years of substance abuse, the protagonist's face is locked in an asshole-ish smirk.
He's Max Payne?
More asshole-ish. And the very first check you can see is like, stop making this face, and it's an 18. It's unbelievably difficult to stop making that face. But
that's the end game. That's the end game.
Disco yeah. Elysium.
Cool. I'm going to check it out after this. At least look something up on it. But was that everything you played?
Yeah, that's everything I played.
Okay. Well, then, that means it's time to go straight into news.
No, we have to do the bit where you forget the pod lords. Then we actually have to do the pod chords.
Pod chords?
That's what I hate about modern music. It's all pod chords.
Rap isn't real music. They don't play instruments. I'm a 65-year-old man.
Good fucking lord, that take was so bad. I wish it was back where I forgot it and didn't remember it. Fuck you, man. Anyways, the pod lords for this episode of the Big Think Dimension are...
Getting loaded right now.
Danny Richardson. Not Gak. E. Lee Broyles. Dandy Cageford. Neil Breen. Raw. Dank Mormons.
Legendary.
Red Blaze 27.
27.
Shadow Jucifer. The True Self.
True.
Suzu Shiro.
Alliteration.
Emperor Zero.
Yeah.
We got a rhyming thing going on. One moment. Nope. This one dropped it. Ramicus. Crystal Pen.
I love Crystal Pepsi.
Sheep Heavenly. I love you, Mr. Feel.
Oh, thank you.
$50. $50.
That's real love. That's real love right there. $50. Chris Fitzpatrick. Brandon Heat. Ghost Recon Breakpoint is handing Ubisoft 12 L's. Brandon,
not enough.
Brandon, if KZ guffaws at my name again, I'll strangle him. Hanna-Barger.
Oh, well, that's he managed to hold it together. I hope he covered his mouth.
Cappy. KZ, oh, watch out for that falling OLED. Adraco. I'm not reading that.
Oh, why not? Put it in the chat. I'll read it.
You put it in the chat. We got to do this bit again. So, Phil, do you want that or should I take it?
Where'd he put it?
In general.
I was. Mistress Lightning, sweaty pits of saltitude. Thank you are to our podlord, Motomu Toriyama.
Osama bin Spookin, Quattro Chadric, Gran Dimension de Pensamiento. Thank you
for
very much.
Perfection.
To our pod lords. Except for that one.
Thank you, pod lords.
Get your shit together.
Thanks.
Especially that one.
No.
I was able to save my OLED because of that one.
Thanks, pod lords.
No, that one was fine. I was talking about the other one.
That's fine.
That was fine.
Whatever, they give us money.
So Flip Gingerman is in Death Stranding. I'm very excited about
yeah.
that. Very happy.
That's
about
what he's also, we open with.
Yep.
He's also just a fucking furry.
He has a cosplay partner that helps him make a good otter hat. which apparently lets him float on his back.
I feel like the insinuation is clear.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Conan O'Brien would never make that joke.
Conan O'Brien isn't a weirdo. Not at all.
Also, other news about Death Stranding. The NDA for Death Stranding ends a full week before the game comes out, so Kojima saved himself time editing trailers to spoil his own game.
They must be fucking confident.
Yeah, it takes balls to let it unlock a full week in advance. Like, I have no idea.
It was like a clerical error, and then they just ran with it.
KZ has inserted news into my news. I will now read it. Good news, Dan. Less than a month before the launch of Stadia, Google announces their new development studio, Stadia Games and Entertainment. They've had Jade Raymond this whole time, which has been really weird. They've done that Silicon Valley thing where they bought all the smart people. Oh, yeah, you didn't know? Yeah. Jade Raymond's been there for at least 7 months. Yeah,
yeah, the whole write-up on them announcing this was written by Jade Raymond.
Uh-huh. Yeah, she's been over there for at least 7 months. It's been real weird.
I'm glad now that they're like 3 weeks away from the launch, they've decided we will make exclusive content for our gaming platform.
Yeah. I'm sure if they had a device to ship this thing with other than just a Chromecast, like if they had to make a bespoke Stadia Center, they would probably pay Joni Ive's company serious cash to get him to design it, because they're doing that Silicon Valley thing where they're just paying the most money for the most expensive people and hoping it works out. Here's news I actually care about deeply. I am 8-Bit, the company that made the Street Fighter 2 reprint cartridges for the SNES that warned you they might light your console on fire.
Oh no.
Oh yeah. Doing they reprints. Made like the translucent like Blanca cartridge.
Uh-huh. They're doing reprints for The Lion King for the SNES and Aladdin for the Genesis. And they cost 1,000 each.
Wait.
Or, sorry, 100 each.
Okay.
Either way, Bob, do you want to pay me $100 so that way there's a random chance I set your Super NES on fire?
No, especially not with these mediocre games.
I do.
Fuck that. Fuck I am 8-Bit. This is ridiculous.
That's so hey, do you want to play, Cool Spot on SNES? That's $100 and you might die.
I do love that theme we're using as the bumper music this month, so the Patreon bumper. Maybe I do want to light my Super NES on fire.
I'm excited.
Are you? $100 cartridge?
For the bumper, yes.
Oh, the bumper's great. It's real good.
Yeah.
I edited the Genesis version of that theme to make it sound like the SNES version. So Bob,
talk about something happy.
Yeah, talk about Persona 5 Scramble, the real game they announced earlier this year while the other people were talking about that Royale business.
Yeah, Persona 5 Scramble. We finally got some more news about these eggs.
About eggs?
It comes out February 20th, 2020. In Japan.
A lot of twos.
So it might make it for the launch of the PS5 here in America.
Just barely.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. They won't have...
That's the Atlas USA localization time. Too fucking long.
They have to ship Persona 5 Royal first, so they can't even start on it till like April.
Oh my god. Oh, if they do that, they're insane.
Good.
April 2021.
So, Bob, what'd this trailer show?
The trailer showed a lot of cool stuff. And this is the Dynasty Warriors Persona 5 game, for anyone who's joining us.
Yeah.
Hasn't heard about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they showed some exploration in the real world, like in their regular outfits, like going around rural looking areas.
Mm-hmm.
People are trying to figure out where it is. Some people think it's Joker's hometown. Other people think it might be Inaba from Persona 4.
Mm.
That'd be really cool if it was that. But we'll just have to wait and see. As far as other like in-gameplay, like typical gameplay segments, they showed 2D stuff. Like literally it turns into a 2D platformer. It's strange.
The graphics are still 3D.
Yeah, the graphics are still 3D, but the camera angles completely shifted and your character is definitely locked to two-dimension.
El Shaddai Ascension of the Metatron energy.
But it looks a lot more solidly animated and everything. Oh, man.
they showed off an original character for this. It's the best looking original character I've seen in any of these Dynasty Warriors games that get original characters.
Okay, what's the original character?
She's like got this weird heart suit, and her pigtails are hearts. It's strange looking, but it's interesting.
It also seems like they have a villain, an original villain.
Yeah, he only shows up in like one shot, but he's probably the villain. Who
is he? The guy that people in the Discord refer to as Anime Bob?
Yes.
Yes. See, I would have gone with just Persona Gendo, because that looks the most like what he probably is.
See, they also showed off that like one sequence had a calendar stuff like in the original game where it shows days changing.
Yeah, that was real neat.
And there's going to be DLC for music from previous games. So they showed off Persona 3 and Persona 4 tracks. I was like, that's neat.
I feel like that shit should be in the fucking main game. Stop doing this.
I think that it was like pre-order DLC at least, so it'd be something you get just for doing the pre-order, but yeah, it should just be in the main game.
Because
sure.
Like Persona 4 Ultimax, the second one, the arena, second arena game, has like $100 of soundtrack DLC or some shit.
Yeah, that's absurd.
That is absurd. We're going to find out more about everything here November 4th.
Though, you know, the really disappointing part, Bob, is how Persona 5 Scramble soundtrack in North America will be MIDI.
They don't have that problem, at least.
Yeah, there's not a war criminal on staff, so they're not going to have that problem.
They should look into that.
No, I'm sorry. Hiring war criminals? Crimes denier, very different.
Let's start looking into Shoji Meguro as soon as possible.
everyone work together. We're not sure about this Meguro person.
So
he probably killed Kaneko.
So this game looked really impressive. Because you would just think it was going to be like a cash grab.
I really thought it was going to be a cash grab. This looks a little bit more involved.
But there's so much extra stuff, like the exploration, the calendar stuff. And then the fact that they said, yeah, this is the official Persona 5 sequel.
Okay, did that come
they
out?
They fucking say that for everything.
It takes place after it. And it's definitely more serious, more typical tones than, say, the dancing game. Which I still appreciate as a sequel.
Yeah, they're like, it's the sequel. You see some characters that only show up after you're basically finished with that game. It looks...
Omega Force is making it, so that explains why it looks pretty good. They usually do a decent...
Yeah, they usually do Dynasty Warriors 8, right, Bob?
Yes.
What a great game.
Persona goes open world.
That's 9.
Oh, is it 9?
No, yeah.
Sorry, everyone. The numbering scheme between America and Japan gets confusing sometimes with the Dynasty Warriors series.
Like Dragon Quest Heroes, they made those.
Yeah, Dragon Quest Heroes was great.
And Warriors, they made those, which are also good.
I mean, they do all the Warriors games.
Which is my favorite Warriors game.
Yeah, no, that one's really solid. It'd be great if this hits that standard. I really hope that they have Persona 3 and 4 characters, even if it's only a few. Like, I'd love to see like redesigns of... four characters.
That'd be
older.
Fantastic. I feel I'm not entirely at least a couple, like Mitsuru would make sense. For God's sake, she runs a fucking Let's Go Research Weird Thing company post Persona 3. So just throw her in there.
Yeah, and one of them became a Power Ranger, so I'm sure she can show up. The other news I've got, Ikumi Nakamura and Hideki Kamiya met up and made a Twitter video about how they want to make Okami.
Yeah.
Good. I've heard
that video was incredible. That video where she goes, is it actually happening? Yes. And then she just fucking leaves.
I've been consistently hearing for a while that Capcom is making Beautiful Joe 3 as a collaboration with Platinum. So, like, this might happen.
Yeah, I think that this could happen. It'd be great. It'd be really cool to see happen. Like, I haven't even played much Okami, but I'd love to see them tackle it again.
A next-gen Okami. I just fucking nut. Purely on the visuals.
Poor Okami, Den.
It'd be like, Arxis, you guys are pissants. Look at this. And then they're just incinerated.
I'm excited, but I don't think that they'd be able to match Arxis. That's asking a bit much.
I'll take this. This is crazy optimism instead of crazy These people should be hung.
Guillotine, KZ. It's much more humane.
I don't want to talk about any of Fields' news. KZ, you have the floor.
Dan motherfucking Southworth, you may know him as Virgil from Devil May Cry, is reprising his role as the Quantum Ranger for Power Rangers Battle for the Grid.
Yes, I have to buy that game now.
It was like, will they actually seek him out and bring him in? Yes, actually. He posted like a tweet of just going, hey, I'm this ranger. And I'm like, wow.
His Twitter icon right now is the Funko Pop of that character. I'm sad it's a Funko Pop, but without the helmet too, so it's him.
Oh man, you can buy Dan Southworth's Funko Pop. Fancy.
Has a little piece of his soul in it.
Let's see.
It just shakes around saying, power. I need more power.
You know what I love? I love finding ways to get Dissidia Final Fantasy news onto this podcast.
That makes one of us.
And by that, I mean, I removed it initially, but Phil insisted. I'm like, you know what? Sure.
Yeah, I think it's funny. So,
yeah, I think it's hilarious. They did another live stream for like new stuff for Dissidia NT. It included two brand new costumes, one for Shintoto, and then one for Noctis from Final Fantasy 15 getting his old Versus 13 outfit, which...
Very Sasuke core.
It's incredible. People being reminded that, yes, that was his old designs outfit. And one of the people on staff there went, this is the costume from Final Fantasy Versus 13. And he immediately responds, we're allowed to say that name? And they're like, of course. And he said, it wasn't allowed before. And they went, it's complicated, but it's okay now.
This man will not rest until there's another release of Final Fantasy 15 and it's just a remake of what he fucking wanted.
And he made a joke saying, one day I'll write a book about what happened. And the host said, yeah, and it won't be published by Square Enix.
They can't lose him. Now he's the most powerful one they have.
I can't imagine what shit was like a few years ago where they're like, no, you are in this prison, work on the other games, because...
Let Tabata ruin yours. He's tired. He doesn't like pushing buttons. Just hold the triggers.
Look, guys, in 30 years, he'll retire, and then we'll get his memoirs.
Yes. He did not mention Noctis. He did not mention that game once he was taken off until Dissidia NT was coming out. But this was also the same guy that said, yeah, Noctis is my son. I care about this character. That shit must have been real bad. But yeah, that's going to be part of that DLC costume thing that will probably be $18.
I mean, I already threw that game in the garbage.
My brain did.
That's not even a joke. I was like, how much will GameStop give me for this? $2. And I'm like, I'd rather have the catharsis of destroying it.
I almost considered going up to my local GameStop. I went, I have this physical copy of KH3. What's it run? $7.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, never mind. No. I'll just keep it on the shelf.
Yeah, I'm keeping Dissidia NT just because it's a cool steel case.
Don't worry. Next year, they'll release Dissidia. We made the game people wanted edition.
Can they? Can they just do a 1v1 thing with a bunch of content?
I'd like
limit
it.
Breaks
they have,
and all, and
you have the fucking models. Please just do it. You're still making new models. You can't. It can't be doing well. You must have some greater plan.
Can we do this? Can we make Dan feel happiness once again? I don't know about that. So, at the time of recording this podcast, it has been exactly 1 month since the State of Play that Sony hosted that revealed The Last of Us 2 will be released in February. It has now been delayed.
Ugh.
For 3.5 more months to May 29th, 2020.
That is very, it's very strange.
Neil Druckmann said it was for some polish that they needed to achieve. And, you know, the usual stuff they say.
Get it up to Naughty Dog standards.
Yeah, the Naughty Dog standard. I mean, the game does look gorgeous. My brain defaulted to what broke. What section broke that they're real scared about?
That's possible. I think them just wanting a totally free zone with nothing else around it is also possible.
It's so strange. Just a month afterward.
They must have found something that broke. That's the only explanation, because they wouldn't have announced it, then delayed it 1 month later.
It's a really Final Fantasy 15 sort of feel.
I was gonna say it's like Final Fantasy 15, but they at least waited a few months before they shit on the carpet.
Yeah, that's what makes me think they must have found like an A bug that isn't easy to fix.
Yeah, it's probably just the amount of time it takes to connect things or something else about the story that they critically disagreed with at the studio. That's just gonna take more time, you know. Because
people seem to be comparing our game tonally to a Serbian film. Can you fix that?
People have called the fact that Joel is a ghost in her head and that she's gone crazy already. Can we somehow change that? And they're like, no, that's not easy at all.
That'd be so funny.
People were calling that from the first trailer.
The worst part is in the first trailer, it makes no sense. In the new one, it's like, oh god, are they really going to be like Seeds Deep like a Fincher film?
You can't just do that and then take the exact element from a Fincher film. That's not how it works.
Well, it's what they're doing.
I'm just kidding, everyone. Jesus Christ.
This is initially reported by Jason Schreier, and then later in the day, they put out an official press release. He said that Ghost of Tsushima was supposed to come out in the first half of next year, and now everything's getting pushed. So that's going to come out in the second half because they don't want Last of Us to cannibalize that.
You thought I'd let you ship?
I wonder if they initially were going to ship in February because of this, but now it's just like, oh no. Who knows? Maybe Ghost of Tsushima also needs more time for polish.
I mean, every game benefits from more time for polish. The only games that don't have critical underlying problems that wouldn't honestly get out of the green lighting phase at Sony. Like, I've never
only
seen them
Code
ship.
Code Vein doesn't benefit from polish. Doesn't benefit from a year of it.
A year of fucking polish.
Code Vein is like, what's the term, oleophobic, and every time you try to stick polishing substances on it, it just slides right off.
Woo! I can just see in my brain a game case that has like PS4/PS5 at the top, and that's what Ghost of Tsushima is going to ship in.
Probably.
I imagine
now that's going to happen.
And it could be their August release. They could do like this is May, and then August 3 months later, they just have
that's
something
still
else
too close.
It is really close, but I could see them doing it.
This ain't no Naughty Dog game. Nobody gonna care.
They should. It's gonna be good.
They really should.
Speaking of shit that might be fucked, KZ, Ubisoft.
Okay, so Ubisoft did a conference call. They were talking about things. I didn't put it here, but they said the Division 2 was a complete commercial failure.
Whoa.
Oh, yes! Justice reigns! Justice exists in this world!
Jesus. But yeah, said it was a complete commercial failure, and that is why all of this news exists, in which they have delayed everything.
Everything.
Watch Dogs Legion and Gods and Monsters have been delayed. They will be coming out anywhere from the second half of 2020. Rainbow Six Quarantine, a game I bet you don't even remember.
I don't know what that is.
I
that was the one where you're like, are they still revealing these fucking games?
There was fucking seven of those.
Yeah. That one's like the, it's cooperative.
You have an infection.
And I don't remember anything else. Yeah, yeah, there's like an infection thing going on. And I was like, it's a separate game. Oh my god, this is just a Rainbow Six conference.
Oh, it's the one with the fucking time watch.
Yes,
it's the one with the watch that has a clock on it.
Yeah, that game alongside Roller Champions will release sometime after April of 2020. They still have two unknown AAA titles coming out by March of 2021.
They're going to release four AAA titles in the span of like 7 months bullshit.
Yeah, certainly some of these are going to be delayed even further.
In case you're wondering, no mention of Beyond Good and Evil 2, because that's obviously next gen.
Obviously, yeah.
Not real.
It's obvious. It's completely real.
But yeah, I'm glad it's not. Like, every game they've released has been really, really unpolished this year, so... I mean, look at Ghost Recon.
God, after fucking Breakpoint, more polish, just dump it on.
As someone who's played a little bit or all of some of their new releases, yes. I feel like even Far Cry New Dawn, I think it was called that one that I played the entirety of, felt rough in spots. And very, this could have used a bit more in it. Every way. And lastly, Skull and Bones, a game KZ forgot existed, is still slated for 2021.
Okay.
I figured that would be canceled by now.
Yeah.
When was that announced? 2017?
Something like that.
It never fails where I'll say something crazy and KZ will react like he's been shot, and then Bob, just under his breath, will say something 15 times more harsh.
This is how it happens. You shoot me in the head, he puts a bomb in my ass.
I feel like some of these games might be fucked just because they're going to come out so close to next gen that nobody will give a fuck.
I feel like most of these have to be pushed to next gen or are just like, oh yeah, we're launching on PS4 and it's PS5's already out.
Like, I feel like nobody is going to care about anything but The Last of Us 2 after March. That's on PS4 and Xbox One.
What? I just don't.
That doesn't even.
I don't understand how. I don't understand how much of a nightmare that Skull and Bones games has to be. That was announced in 2017, and it's not coming out until 2 years from now.
These big service games are just a nightmare. And I'm willing to bet that now that this loot box shit is unstable and maybe strong, possibly going away, we're going to see a lot less of these.
What do you think one of those unknown games is?
I mean, one's an Assassin's Creed game.
Of course. Huh.
You think the other one's an interesting video game?
No.
Absolutely. It's Beyond Good and Evil 2. We all forgot, right?
No.
No, that's quadruple A.
I guess it could be a Rayman, but that no, they wouldn't count a Rayman. Well, maybe they would. Maybe they're pretentious and smug.
You think so?
But
maybe.
Just make another fucking UB Art Rayman game, you fucks.
You Splinter Cell, maybe?
The last one came out on fucking Wii U. It was so old. You know what I think might make Dan happy? Keiji Inafune failing. Keiji Inafune directed a mobile game for Level 5 called Dragons and Colonies.
That came out
earlier this year.
Yes.
It sounds so bad. That title's so bad.
It sucked ass, big ass. It got taken down in August for a revamp.
Uh-huh.
They just took the whole fucking game down. They have relaunched it. The whole old game is now recontextualized as a video game in the world of the new game.
Holy shit.
Wow.
It is now esports themes. It has esports themed. It has all new protagonists and villains with designs that look like very standard Level 5 designs. I do not believe Keiji Inafune had any input on these. It is now esports themed.
You can't find a place to stick them. You can't find anywhere to...
He's too incompetent. He's too fucking bad at everything.
You think he finally realizes how good he had it over there? Over there at Capcom?
No. He is one of those people's like, the world's against me.
Those other teams don't have Keiji and Inafune.
What a pretentious fuck.
Yeah, he's really cool with himself.
But yeah, it's like level... I just imagine level 5 being like fucking... nothing else we do fails. What the fuck is wrong with you? And like sending in a rescue team to try and fucking rehab this shit.
I just like that it's like... esports will save it.
Apparently the plot now is that the protagonist wants to become a super good esports player in the Dragons and Colonies game, and the company that runs the fictional game is using people's DNA to make digital versions of them in monsters. But whatever, it's a level 5 mobile game. Who cares?
Yeah, that's weird.
Let's shit on Blizzard a little bit. Hearthstone Championship. Some championships happened this weekend. They handed the trophy to the winner, and the trophy fell apart live on stream.
Very fitting.
I clicked the PC Gamer article for this news and was assaulted by 5 autoplay videos. Fuck you, PC Gamer.
What?
There was a video playing at the start. I click pause. Still fucking noise assaulting me. Okay, there's one over in the sidebar. They do that. Click that. Still being assaulted. Scroll down. Pause. Still being assaulted. Scroll down. Pause. Still fucking being assaulted. Scroll down. Pause. 5 videos about the same subject. Fuck you.
They gotta make that revenue somehow.
Jesus Christ.
They're like, Hey, look, advertisers, look how many plays we got on this video.
Blizzard is still doing QAs at BlizzCon, but you have to submit your question in advance through cards so they can fucking filter them entirely. You guys are going to get questions yelled at you, Blizzard. You can't do anything about this. People are going to start yelling Hong Kong shit at you. You're going to... It might be worse than if you just took it on the chin.
Yeah, no, I can't imagine now, people not busting out signs, doing everything they can to
they'll bust
get something
out
on
signs,
screen.
They'll fucking take off a layer of clothing and have different clothing on. They'll fucking just yell shit. They'll just yell. There will be a free Hong Kong chant at one of these panels.
You trying to tell me that people will not be sated by the announcement of an alleged Overwatch 2?
No, probably not.
Okay. That's kind of hard to... Right now is not especially, a great time to be excited.
Right.
Especially not when all the places where May would be in the trailer, there's just like a texture not loading graphic, like the checkerboard.
I specifically set you up for this and you slammed it down.
But don't worry, guys. There'll be Diablo 4 and it won't be for mobile, so they won't get booed at, but they swear.
Look, the thing, they're like, man, I can't wait for BlizzCon where everyone will be excited for the things we have. This was them 1 month ago.
Speaking of Blizzard, Mike Ybarra, who was formerly of Microsoft, is now working at Blizzard. And boy, it's that gif of the person showing up when everything's on fire with a stack of pizza box.
Oh my God.
Although he got mad earlier this year at people giving Anthem bad reviews and got publicly angry about it on Twitter. So maybe he might have a bad... Maybe that's a bad pattern for somebody going in this position to have. Let's hope he doesn't relapse.
I can't imagine. You're like, I've been in Microsoft for like over
21 years.
Years,
I think. I think it's 21 years.
Over 2 decades at Microsoft. I've been involved with some major things. Like he was... working on a lot of their live stuff and Games Pass. It's like, I'm going to move on to the next thing. I'm going to go with Blizzard.
Immediately burst happens. Into flames. In other news, SpongeBob Battle for Bikini Bottom Rehydrated, a game that will never exist, I said, and took the L on that one.
Raw.
Get some special editions. There's a $300 one with like a Final Fantasy VII Remake tier statue of the characters. And I'm like, boy, this feels a little bit ridiculous that you're like, Kingdom Hearts 3, Final Fantasy VII Remake, SpongeBob.
Feel, you're making me want to buy it.
Casey just opens his wallet and a moth flies out and it says, I owe you Nomura.
I open up my bank online and it just says, fuck you.
Now, guys, I have something to tell you. I've been doing something while we recorded this. I've been playing Mario 64 on a poorly coded N64 emulator, Bazinga. So, NBC is making an esports sitcom by the producers of The Big Bang Theory.
Haven't you done enough to me, NBC?
You linked this story and said, Mazianga, and I've never wanted to beat you harder.
Zimbabwe!
This is going to be like pouring acid on your face.
It is. I look forward to everyone's parents saying, you're just like that character in it.
You don't understand. Phil.
I do understand.
It. It's going to happen.
Yeah, we are. It's going to be a cursed content episode for sure.
Don't say this.
They were going to say it before I even said it. Don't worry about it, Bob. Damage
they're
is done.
They're ending the real Big Bang Theory, so I just imagine all the fucking characters that aren't Sheldon because he's the one who quit. I just imagine all of them being dumped into this fucking show, and we've waited. The best piece of news is the last one.
No, I doubt that.
I yelped. I clapped. Rushed into this document the minute this was announced.
I stopped looking at this document.
Fallout 76 now has a paid membership plan. $10 a month or $100 a year. That's twice as much as fucking online service.
It's not even $10. It's $13 a month.
It is more than either Sony or Microsoft's online service.
It is more than Microsoft Game Pass, which you could play Fallout New Vegas and The Outer Worlds on.
You could probably buy Microsoft Game Pass and PlayStation Now.
You're looking at a service. Gives you like private worlds. So you can play with your friends.
Gives you private worlds, unlimited storage. Unlimited storage for items. It gives you, 1,600 atoms, which are the premium currency a month. I don't know how much money that is. I would assume $16. I'll look it up right now.
$16 motherfucking game.
They had the goal to do this days after they delay the NPC, new expansion they promised this year.
Yes. In a week where they delayed the NPCs, where a game touting itself as the real Fallout is coming out, they're like, all right, here's our plan. I know we delayed this, but what if we try to charge you $100 a year for features you want in a game that's been dire?
Now, there's some important things. Everything about this is broken.
How?
So
one, your private worlds are not private. People went into their private worlds and all the NPCs were dead because somebody else had gotten in and killed all of them. And your infinite storage boxes are just deleting items forever.
People are spending $100.
$100.
And having their inventory deleted.
They deserve it, okay? There, I said.
No.
If you're fucking still playing Fallout.
You are a fucking stooge and you got played like the tool you are. Now, I'm pro-consumer rights. I'm pro-consumer protection, but come the fuck on. Brand new features for a game that has been broken as shit for how many months now? 11? A whole year? We're getting there. And you motherfuckers lined up to be the beta testers for a paid fucking program. What were you thinking? Were you thinking? Please send your emails to btd@gigaboots.com.
I like it because the post that I saw going around on Reddit about it, the person says, I know I shouldn't be buying this.
Just
a rough time. It's a rough time for Bethesda. Hopefully they'll recover.
Yes, poor Bethesda. Not poor the people who for whatever fucking confounding reason gave them even more.
I don't know. You seem to have no sympathy for them.
Oh, no, I have sympathy for them. I will also berate them. There is difference. Yes. No person deserves to get taken advantage of.
Okay, that's a bit more measured than I thought it was. Okay.
No person deserves to get taken advantage of, but for fuck's sake, protect yourself. What were you thinking? Come on.
Yeesh. Practice safe sex with Todd Howard.
Also, fans took control of falloutfirst.com.
Oh, yeah. And, no, that was hilarious.
And
what?
And made a website shitting on it. So it says you go to falloutfirst.com. At the top is a header that says Fallout fuck you first. Bolt Boy is holding a card that says first member fucked. And it says private world scrap boxes and more coming, as in ejaculate, to Fallout 76 with Fallout fuck you first. Ever since Fallout 76 launched, we have consistently done nothing to improve and evolve the experience based on your shitty feedback. That's why we're excited to launch Fallout Fuck You First, a premium ass-pounding membership that offers something dumbass players have been asking for since before launch. Private worlds for you select friends. So we decided to put it behind a paywall. In addition to this huge new feature, Fallout Fuck You First also includes a host of pointless items and cult bonuses, all of which you can find on my foreskin. And the best part, Fallout Fuck You First is available to screw you right now. So the funniest part of this, one of the things locked behind this paywall is an NCR Ranger costume. So the most iconic thing from New Vegas, which only exists because they told Obsidian, no, you can't make any original power armor designs. That's too important to the branding. So they made something really cool looking instead, and it is now being used as a perk of this horrible membership.
God, how horrible.
How did
it even look that good?
How do they do that? Like, what do they say at E3 after this? Like
the same thing as last year.
This seems insane.
The same thing as last year.
They'll show
more
pushing.
Children.
There will be even more human interest segments where someone talks about how this game cured their cancer or whatever.
We shouldn't be mean. They created RPGs, VR,
and VR, and game streaming.
I just hope they don't have a conference next year. They just don't show up. The only thing of value where they put out something that was not critically panned or failed financially in the past, year or two is Doom. That's all they have.
The first Wolfenstein did fine, then nobody liked the second one, and apparently the DLC was terrible, because I saw minor controversy even from journalists about that, like, goddamn, this DLC is fucking bad.
I heard people say it's like, it's got Destiny...
No, that's Youngblood.
Damage sponge shit? Oh,
that's
okay.
Youngblood. There was a season pass for Wolfenstein 2 that was apparently fucking terrible. And then Youngblood has like microtransactions and like Borderlands 3 tier level scaling, where if you're not at the right level, you just do no damage.
Oh, I thought you were saying writing, because I've seen some of the cutscenes in that. It's bad.
Like, what the fuck are they doing? Why can't they make any of this work?
Why haven't they just shot this game in the head and then moved on?
Because people bought a year membership to this fucking program.
Yeah.
Why did they make this program? The game should have just... I'll be honest, they should have just stopped this game.
Here's how it goes, Casey. This game is... I guarantee this is how the meeting went. This game is doomed. We are never going to sell a significant amount of copies to this game. Only a small amount of players are still playing, and even fewer are spending money. Let's just make a thing that costs $100 and just wring them out as much as we can. This game is not going to make it into next gen. You will not be able to play Fallout 76 on your PS5 or Xbox One. It'll be Xbox 2. It'll be shot in the head before then.
Why can't they give up like BioWare like normal people? Like, come on.
Yeah.
Can you imagine working on Fallout 76?
No. No, I can't. I can't even begin to
imagine.
That means
you're a healthy person.
I feel bad, too, because that team was working on some other thing, like, years before. Because you remember, it was, like, 2015, they showed, like, a multiplayer Overwatch-esque, like, PvP shooting game.
Yeah.
No, I don't remember this at all.
That thing got murdered, and then they said, this team is now working on a Fallout multiplayer thing.
And we haven't, like, this doesn't even get into... Biggest thing they had a pop for at E3, Ghostwire Tokyo. That game's fucked. That game is going to be either garbage or canceled quietly.
The concept, like the trailer ship for that, looked really cool. I'm like, man, they're actually pulling out some interesting stuff. Oh, no.
Yeah, that game is fucked.
Oh. Oh, no.
They lost a creative director, like, what, 2 months after that? Which is a rut-row, which is they fucked her, and she left because they fucked her. That game is doomed.
It's okay. I like her Twitter.
Yes, I hope she finds happiness outside of Bethesda. Anywhere is easier than there, except BioWare.
I mean, honestly, anywhere but there's a pretty good place to start looking.
It is neat to see her do some sort of, like, almost Kojima-esque, like, tour of studios.
Yes.
Though I doubt this will end with her getting an engine and a whole studio to herself, because, oh my god, that's insane.
I had to try and find the game that I was thinking of that predates Fallout 76 and is Battle Cry.
Yeah, that would have been bad anyway. Like, that would have been thrown into the maw that is...
Mm-hmm.
The Overwatch competitors, like freaking, what did Battleborn?
Lawbreakers.
Gigantic.
Oh, fucking Jesus. Gigantic.
Bob.
What's up?
I'm having a fever dream. What? What game? Gigantic?
Gigantic, yeah. I'm pretty sure
you all remember Gigantic, Dan?
No, is that the fucking team-based thing that had the fake team chatter? No, the fake commentary.
I don't know if they did that. It was just a team-based game where it was like tower defense or Dota, but the towers were a giant monster you were trying to protect.
Okay, no, Gigantic is not the one where that had the fake commentary. That was some fucking Ubisoft one that I don't know if it ever came out or was ever seen again.
Oh yeah, I see that it got shut down in July of 2018.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I didn't even know it actually came out.
He's talking about Gigantic, not the other one. Whatever that is.
Yeah, Battlecry, just straight up. It appeared for like two E3s and then disappeared. Things are looking bright at Bethesda.
We need to stop ruminating on all this Bethesda business.
Well, good news. That
I'm
was all
super
our news.
Excited for Doom Eternal.
I am. That...
I am too.
Please, God, don't. Fucking Bethesda, do not fuck id.
Again. Don't fuck id again.
We have to be specific here.
Yes.
Look at this, go, okay, everybody likes this, everybody's excited for this. We have the shittest hands. It's like the opposite of the Midas touch. Touch something and it turns into shit. So let's just not touch that at all.
I just hope Bethesda's shitting their pants and going, just make the game. Make game and go. Make game, make another one. Make 5 Dooms in 2 years, please. Just do it.
No!
I'm looking forward to Doom Eternal 2. Comes out 6 months later.
On the Switch. I'll buy it.
No, stop it. Stop it.
I can't. It got delayed.
Good.
So I mean, that's all the news.
The news. We're free.
Oh, thank God.
We're free. This was a much shorter show, but that Bethesda thing was a real fucking black hole of fun. And the esports show.
When the show's this short, sometimes you got to have fun by shitting on Todd Howard's head.
I don't.
Allegedly.
Anyway, what do you guys got going on in the next week? Let's start with Mr. Field. Mr. Field, what do you have coming out of the next week?
I can't see, so I can't answer this question right now.
Oh, that's tragic. Okay. KZ, excellent. What do you have coming out in the next week?
As soon as I get this podcast edited, I'll be streaming the Outer Worlds throughout the week. I'm incredibly excited for it. Reviews have been glowing.
Are you going to yeet the rich, something that makes me want to beat the Polygon writer who wrote that term up?
I'm going to experience a game that I pre-ordered months in advance because I was so annoyed at Bethesda.
Fitting that it should come out right now.
Yeah.
God, it keeps happening! Fallout 76 comes out and sucks. Here's the Outer Worlds. $100 a year for shit that doesn't work. The Outer Worlds is now out.
That literally, it happened. I saw reviews came out, a bunch of places giving it nines, and people going, this is like if Fallout New Vegas had even more, like, freedom in the choices and the dialogue options and the skill checks, and I'm like, a real RPG, a real one.
If I didn't have a ton of shit to play, I might be like, I'll just get that Xbox Game Pass and play it completely divorced from the Epic Store because I can do that.
Yeah.
Because it turns out that most of Epic's exclusivity deals are fucking fake.
We paid $85 million to get this for a month.
That's
allegedly.
Not even real. Not even a real month. A fake month because you can just go to the Rockstar launcher.
Yeah, but you don't get the Epic achievement system. Is there an achievement system at Epic?
No. Oh, God, no. No, of course not.
They got achievements before they got a shopping cart. Could you imagine?
That's going to be my week. What's going on at the HQ?
Well, at Gigaboots HQ, I'm going to be checking out Ring Fit Adventure more, which I will talk about on next week's Big Think Dimension. And I may do some streams. I don't know. Been having fun with that game.
Don't injure yourself, please.
Oh, no. Been having fun with that game. It's real fun. Lots of fun.
Play aggressive inline, Dan.
Stop
sending me that. I don't. Why are you doing this?
Play aggressive inline, Dan.
We're ending the podcast. Okay, good. Have a good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Big Think Dimension. This show, like our other podcasts, is only possible with the generous time our co-hosts have given to us and the equipment we've bought to make it higher quality and easier to produce. Please consider supporting our podcast series on our Gigaboots Podcast Patreon and look forward to more Gamer Premonitions and Big Think Dimension in the future.